Blog Talk Radio.
Amen.
Thank you. And to everybody that's been praying for us and believing with us since we started this thing. Thank God for the people and the opportunity to share with everybody.
And welcome, YouTube. Yep.
Welcome, YouTube. It's good to have you with us today. It's going to be a good day. We're going to talk about dreams today. I encourage you, when this is fun today, go to Dr. Marcy Bartley's site and study records and I like to say study. Study the message from this morning that really carries that description. And he speaks about dreams, which is what I'm going to be talking about today. Really great message about Joseph. And so he inspired me to do that too. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to ask this and we're going to read it like we're in some kind of a reading contest where we just blaze and through it. We're going to read it and it's going to we're going to learn about dreams. We're going to learn about dreams. And it's very interesting that I have heard 15 different preachers preaching about dreams right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important that we get this as the last day's language of the Holy Spirit. Why would you let a third of your life go to sleep when God did that to you?
Amen.
More than that, whether or not you remember it, wake up every morning saying, God, I want you to talk to me all night long because I want you to talk to me. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to let Sister Leanne start reading Joseph's story. And I want to get the story read so you can start where he gets taken by his mother to go into. Going to Egypt. I'm coming and going, and I can't stop. I gotta keep rolling. So if I go up, Jesus will be reading, and I'm here, I'm gonna be preaching. I want to get started with the story of Joseph right out of the Bible, because remember, that's not how good somebody preaches. What matters is what does the Bible act doing. If we don't read it out loud, then we can read it with some former understanding and revelation of God's word as we go there. We've got to read the word of God and know what it was. So here we go. This is our hand, Father, bless our time together. This is one hour of faith and then communion.
All right.
Thank God, it's good to have fun tonight.
And welcome, John Wehner, on YouTube. We're so glad to have you with us. All right, here we go. Joseph's dream of greatness. We're in Genesis 37. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the genealogy of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to his father of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear the dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And you know, a lot of people, I've heard it preached that that was prideful of Joseph to tell that dream. And maybe there was an element of pride in there. But I also think, but how would they have recalled that when everything played out, that God had put this in order? They would, if he would have never told them about the dream, they wouldn't have realized that this was actually a dream from God, that he set these things in order. So you can kind of see that from both positions. Anyways, verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed of? Shall your mother and I, your brothers, indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flocks in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I'll send you to them." So he said to him, "Here I am." Then he said to him, "Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me." So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you seeking?" So he said, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks." And the man said, "They've departed from here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." We're in verse 21 now. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands." We have Brother Dan with us and Sister Sunday. Good morning, Sunday. Sister Sunday is joining us now. Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down.
In the midst of your dream, bad things can happen to you. And God has given every one of us a dream. Now, I told Leslie to the man about this plan before we got started, is I have to keep going. I can't stop. So she's going to read, and when I get the chance to say something, I'm going to say it. And as long as I have signal, I'm going to talk. But let me grab one verse here.
Was
Joseph supposed to get the coat of many colors and have the blessing? Yes. Because when we read this later on, Joseph said, you guys thought you threw me in there and sold me into slavery, but God prepared us. Mm-hmm. And so you can see that truth is there. The reality is, Jacob created this hostility. And no matter what has happened in your life that has seemingly tried to stop or maybe even had stopped the dream of your life that God gave you when you were young, God is turning everything that happens to a step to lead.
Yeah. Amen.
So even though Joseph did wrong, or Jacob did wrong, that's there's 10 antelope laying down in the middle of a dirt field that's just been planted. There ain't a thing to eat out there nowhere. They're just laying down out there. Excuse us. We're going to the best way to do it. No matter what, God's put eternity in your heart, and I am asking God every day for every one of us to see into the dream, the vision that He has placed within our hearts at some point in our life. Some of them, they'll never come to pass because it was a specific time period that that dream was for. Did I say that right? Did that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. But there's still some of them that, actually, the majority of them, they're still going to come to pass. You and I just got to get ourselves into that, to the realm of the Spirit, where God is moving and with what God is doing, and say that, help me take my gifts right now, right where I am, and bloom where I am planted. There is no place for anyone in this kingdom to be just sitting and watching everybody else's suffering. That's out of order. God said, if you don't eat, if you don't work, you don't eat. If you're just sitting around eating, every time we bring them the freshly prepared meal for you here, and you're not putting your hand to the plow, you're not going to have the blessing of God in your life, and you're going to be like, what's going on? Well, number one, if you don't eat, if you don't work, you don't eat. So God has a place for every person to put their hand to something in their life right now that brings this absolute blessing of God and the dream and the vision that he's placed on the inside of you. Oh, my goodness, I just saw a dead mountain lion laying in the ditch.
Aww. Go speak life to it.
Dan, have you ever seen a dead mountain lion playing in a ditch? Excuse me, squirrel. I got flesh right there. I've never seen that before. That's a big bet. Wow. Anyways, no matter what you see laying in the ditch, God's got a dream for you. Now, let's take up a 10 where my signal is, but it's all right. Let's keep breathing.
All right.
Because we got to get this story.
All right. Here we go. We're on verse 24. They just took him and cast him into the pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was coming a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes, and he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more. And I, where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors and brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And
right,
he
paused. Do you realize that you refuse to be comforted when grief comes to you? Do you realize that you turn to the and you go to just surviving.
Yeah.
It didn't say, and this is going to help them, to refuse to be comforted.
Yeah.
When you stand before God, you have refused his help and refused to be comforted. I refuse your help that he's let me. Don't do it. No matter where you are, and bless him. We're going to hear him say it in a minute. Jacob is actually going to say, I have stormed in my life by 15 years because of the grief.
All right. Oops. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're in verse 35 again, and all of his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in my mourning.
Wow.
Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. We're in Judah and Tamar. We don't really need to read about Judah and Tamar, do we? Let's go to chapter 39, Joseph as a slave in Egypt. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. He certainly was. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put in his hand. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now it came to pass after these things that
Let's talk about that real quick before you get into Potiphar. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
They got a different phone holder saying, now look at the side of my head and the headset there. But,
no, you're fine.
Think about what this is. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. That's right out of Proverbs. And when you go to Deuteronomy 28, what did he say? The blessing will come upon you. That means, and it'll overtake you. It means it's coming out from behind, and it's going to overtake you. The blessing is. What the Psalm says is that the blessing of the Lord is your rear guard.
Yeah, amen.
I am walking with God no matter what. I am going to walk with God no matter what. And you make that decision in your heart, not just to walk at all and pray a prayer, but you make yourself a living sacrifice. And you make that determination. I'm going to walk with God.
Okay, so now we are in chapter 39, verse 7. Now it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as he spoke to she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Boy, I wish he would have turned around and grabbed his coat. And so it was when she saw.
Yeah, no matter what, if you have to run,
yeah, no kidding. Don't leave anything. Yeah. Yeah. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, she has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. Or he has brought in a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words. Yeah, no kidding.
And wicked men,
men are just as bad as the women. Yeah. You know, a demon spirit, not everything that flashes
their eyes or looks handsome and charming or beautiful, it's from God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. You're great.
You're doing good. The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. Verse 18, so it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever he did there, it was his doing. It's amazing, no matter where he goes or what he does, God puts him in charge. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. That's how we should all be living too all the time, just to know God's got it. The Lord is with us, and whatever we do, the Lord makes it prosper. Okay, anyways, chapter 40, the prisoner's dreams. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were there in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker...
Think about this. Now, whatever they did, it must have been bad. Right? And, you know, it's a Joseph is like, it's very easy for Joseph to say,
Yeah.
The greatest thing Joseph has to overcome right now is those guys sitting in prison. But he didn't do anything that was worthy of being in prison. As a matter of fact, he did something that should have raised him into honor because he ran away from that wicked, anyways, you know, wicked woman.
Amen.
I go, wicked women. All right. And his heart is being tested by offense. Don't let your dream die because you've handled the battle of offense. Oh, that's a brand new baby calf that couldn't even stand up.
You know, John was saying that cat in the ditch, too. He said a farmer probably shot it, and that's probably very true. They've got all these new babies being born, and these predators are out.
Oh, yeah.
So that could be.
I thought that same thought. Yep. Dang. You're in the wrong spot. So when the battle of a friend, it's a church, your pastor, your mom, your dad, your brother, your aunt, your uncle. It doesn't matter who it is. It does not matter. Forgive them. It doesn't matter who it is. Forgive them. If you're still fighting a battle on the inside of yourself, telling somebody off because of what they did for you, that's an offense, and you got to get free from it. So that you can go on in life. That thing is going to stop you until you finally just drop the charge for the last time and say, I will never hold this against this person another day. And it might take me 25,000 times you have to make a statement, shut up, I've already forgiven these people.
Yeah.
We're a living sacrifice, and sometimes you try to call on that altar. This is for what? You got to get back up on the altar and tell yourself, shut up, quit acting like a thumb-sucking baby, and get up there and stay on that altar and let God set you free.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And
you know, remembering the words of Jesus as he was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. That is a huge thing, realizing that none of us see the big picture. We're all just kind of stupid and do stupid things in the process of not seeing it all. We don't know. And try to keep that in your mind, too, when somebody does something wrong. They don't know. They don't know what they do.
And how many times do we look back in our life and say, oh, I was really trying to do that, right? And I just messed every part of that up.
Yeah.
No matter how hard I was trying to do right. And remember, that could be the case with the other person.
Yeah.
I would imagine that most of you have seen that meme on Facebook of the man on top of a cliff, and he's got his arms down, and he's got a hold of a woman who's fallen off the cliff, and he's pulling with all his might, holding onto her, and she can't see that he's being bitten by a serpent between her and her top. Why he's not pulling harder.
I've not
seen that.
I haven't, but wow.
That's gone around Facebook about 37 times since I've been on Facebook.
Oh my.
It's a very good picture. And I encourage you, seriously encourage you, remember that you might not be seeing a whole picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And go to God and action of walking with God, still mess it up. And when you're telling the world, I just mess it up. I don't want anything to do except just walk with God.
Yeah.
And yet, it might be confusion. It could be, you know, you just didn't have information. You didn't know. Nobody ever trained you. It doesn't matter. But know that. Helping you, helping them.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst thing in the world, folks, is somebody to talk you on. Or to allow the limiting spirit, the limiting words of somebody in your past to limit you today when they are in heaven and can already see the truth. They're helping you. Don't make the same thing. Don't do it. This is what God will reveal to you in life in a dream. If you might not get it, that's what Job says. You might not be getting it. God is talking, and you're like, I'm not getting what you're saying. But it's okay in a dream. But you got to use faith. Show yourself to me tonight in a dream. And then when you wake up in the morning, say, thank you, Father. I know that my words are pretty much right when I spoke. You spoke to me last night. And I'm going to live this day. And I'm going to be the result of this dream, of this feeling of instruction and environment. This is what we're seeing in Joseph's life. I cannot get this dream.
Where was I even at? Okay, here we go. Yeah. Chapter 40, verse 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, dreamed a dream, both of them, each man's dreams in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and said that they were sad, or saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, and saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms set forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Get me out of here.
Everybody here, God wants to bless every part of your life abundantly. He wants you full of money, full of happiness, full of joy, full of strength. And he wants all of your gifts and use. Every one of us should pray every single day. Father, if somebody around me a dream that will cause me to be promoted where you want me to be right now. Because you and I have the Holy Spirit. And we should look at people and say, interpretations are from God. Tell me your dream. I know God. I can interpret that dream. Help people to stand up and say to us, come forward and just say, man, I have a dream. I can't figure out what this dream is all about. And it gives you the opportunity to interpret it and be promoted in God to the place he wants you to be.
Verse 15, For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me in this dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there I had three baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. Oh, why do I not remember that from before? Anyways, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler of the chief baker and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Chapter 41. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the... Yeah, 2 full years. Or for Pharaoh to realize his wife is a liar.
No, something. Pharaoh and Potiphar are two different people.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
See, God's word did on Joseph so that he'll get rid of offense. Because as soon as you become the second most powerful man in the whole world, you can go crush every person who ever did you wrong. And God can't trust that level of power into his hand until he first deals with offense and makes a determination in his heart that will not sin against you.
Right.
God's not going to bring the offense to you if somebody offends you. But when the enemy comes to try to destroy you, God is going to make you. And that dream he gave you is coming to pass because he put eternity in your heart. And you can do it by
the name. Amen. Ready? Okay, verse 4 again. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine-looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on the stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams. But there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in the custody of the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each dreamed a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us to each man. He interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand and dream to interpret it.
Right.
Understand and dream to interpret it. Okay.
Now I said that Joseph had to shave. And he's close.
Out of the dungeon. Yeah, he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh.
I think about it. The Egyptians didn't like hair.
Right, right.
And God seems to like hair. The Hebrews rip their hair down and pull out their hair. God has the Nazarite vow, which in the old places in Israel were kind of long hair and long beard. God's got many things, I'll do a lot about it. Joseph had to be willing to go into that corner and into the room, the king's room. And I find it very interesting that he had to, of course, he had business for a lot, so somebody gave him some clothes with his prisoner. And I don't even know if his prisoner clothes would have even been allowed.
Amen.
And if you do, then let God take you up to the new covenant. We're in the second song right now.
Yep. Verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly seven cows came up out of the river, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the gaunt and ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. When they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke. Verse 22. Also I saw in my dream, and suddenly seven heads came on one stalk, full and good. Then behold, seven heads withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind sprang up after them. And the thin heads devoured the seven good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land of the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Joseph's rise to power. We're on verse 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard
to..." Think about this. Joseph wasn't sitting in his cell, in the prison house, saying, "How can I see the whole world? It's by a gift of the Spirit."
Yeah.
In that moment, by a gift of the Spirit, God told Joseph the answer for the whole world by a gift of the Spirit, because Joseph said there is a God in heaven who gives interpretations of dreams. And Joseph had been through 20 years, however many years, but suddenly 20 years, I'm not sure, had learned to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And Spirit able to speak, and out of his mouth he knew it. And people say, "Yeah, but that's not me. That's not me. I could never do that." Well, that is good. That is good. Because got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, amen.
And if you're not praying in the Holy Spirit, then it's a gift. You got to receive it as a gift. God has given this gift, and he wants you to be able to enjoy it. He wants you to have it. He's more willing to give you the Holy Spirit than you even are to ask him for the Holy Spirit. That's how much God wants you to have it. And guys, we're down to there might only be days left before Jesus comes. I know, I said that a few times.
Hours, minutes.
This thing is at the end. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, how in the world am I ever going to my whole vision accomplish? What do you want to be able to?" Well, what he wants you to do is use all of your gifts and talents and abilities you have right now, actively bringing this world to pass right now. Nobody gets to just be sitting. Don't let Jesus come back and you're just sitting watching everybody else. There is something for you to do right now to be employed and bringing people to the kingdom. The greatest employer in the world is God Almighty. He pays
Amen.
Like nobody else pays. And it all comes to you by faith. And he's already put inside it. You and I just got to treat our dreams and our visions with a level of respect and dignity and diligence. search for God to speak to us. We got to teach freedom at the level that it has the ability to produce for us. Because that's what our God and Father wants from us. And I'm fired up. I know everybody that's connected to me. God to this ministry, not to me, to this ministry. God is going to cause us to reach in and grab a serious number of people right now. We need our positions to be a blessing to a lot of people. And thank God for it. What time is it, Bob?
It is almost 10 after 12.
Oh, my goodness.
Here.
Time flies. I'll be quiet. Let me see.
Okay. We are in Chapter 41, verse 40. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. This is Pharaoh to Joseph. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zephani Paneah. And he said, he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went on over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out of the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid it up. And laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was without number. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second was called Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended. And the 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, the famine was in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says you do. The famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land in Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all the lands. Keep going. I'll keep going until he says to step, I guess. Okay. Chapter 42, when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? He said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there that we may live and not die. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt, but Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then they said to him, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said to him,
can you imagine what this came in the room and found out?
Yeah. And they said to him, no, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. But he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. Boy, that had to have sent shivers right down his spine. But Joseph said to them, it is as I spoke to you, saying you are spies. In this manner, you shall... In this manner you shall be tested by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether they are in truth, whether there is any truth in you, or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put them all together in prison 3 days. And Joseph said to them the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, I'm in verse 17 or 19. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die. And they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? Now they're going to start fighting with each other.
Think about it. Joseph has probably spoken to them in Egyptian for a translator. Because he doesn't want to get his Hebrew dialect away and let them know, I'm Joseph.
All right? Oh, yeah.
It's not done yet. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I see my brother for 3 years, I'm the one out there talking about it. You gotta know the voice of God. This God says, wait, let me get done everything I'm trying to do. Don't get in my way. And so now they're talking to each other in the Hebrew language, and Reuben and Joseph sitting there going, oh, Reuben is the one that's the God for me.
Yeah.
Oh, there's like, they're saying, it's his blood, it's on our hands, and Joseph's like, it is. Wait, did you guys see this? and God's on the inside saying, Joseph, do it right. Wait, we got to let God be God here. Now, we got to let humans be human. Not human.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to deal with all of this stuff that is human. God's not in heaven forcing Joseph to do something against his will. Joseph had to make a choice.
Verse 23, but they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. And he turned himself away from them and wept. Then he returned to them again and talked with them. And he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. Then Joseph gave a command to... journey. Thus he did for them. So they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey seed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of his sack. So he said to his brothers, my money has been restored, and there it is in my sack. Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, what is this that God has done to us? Then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man who was lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. But he said to him, we are honest men. We are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, by this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me. Take food for the famine of your household and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men.
Think about God. God, in the middle of it all, says, put their money back in their bag because I want them to understand there's a supernatural process. The hand of the diligent will be made rich. And it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Why? So that you and I will search it out. It is the glory of a king. You and I have been made prophets and kings. It is the glory of the king to search out. This is not Egypt. Egypt doesn't give you your money back. And that whole time, all the way back, the whole time they're eating the food until the next time they got to come, they have to say, why was our money put in our bag? That's God doing something supernatural to cause you to reach out and seek in space so that you can see what's going on. That God's hand is in it. He's breathing.
Verse 34 again, and bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men, and I will deliver your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. Then it happened as they emptied their sacks that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Joseph, or Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more. Simon is no more. And you want to take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave.
Don't ever put anything or anybody in that place.
Oh, amen.
Never put a human at a point that says, if that person dies, I will not serve God and all about my whole life will be over.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever. Never.
Amen. Good morning, Rebecca. Glad to have you with us. We love you.
Morning, Rebecca.
She's on YouTube. Chapter 43. Now the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back, buy us a little food. But Judah spoke to him, saying, the man solemnly warned us, saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. And Israel said, why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you had still another brother? But they said, the man asked us pointedly about ourselves and our kindred, saying, is your father still alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to these words. Could we possibly have known that he would say, bring your brother down? Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also your little ones, our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. For if, wow, in forever, that's eternity, a long time. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned to this second time. And their and their father is. Yeah. Yeah. For if we had not lingered, surely by now we would have returned this second time. And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Oh, I love pistachios. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take your brother also and arise, go back to the man. And may God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release your other brother and Benjamin. If I'm bereaved, I am bereaved. So the men took that present and Benjamin, and they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt, and they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my house and slaughter an animal and make ready, for these men will dine with me at noon. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said, it's because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we brought in, so that he may seek an occasion against us and fall upon us to take us as slaves with our donkeys. When they drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food, but it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. So we have brought it back in our hand, and we have brought down the other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. But he said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. I had your money. Then he brought Simeon out to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for he had heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. Second time they're bowing to him. Then he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" And they answered. See, this is going to make me cry too, just because you said that. Okay, so you guys just read the rest of this great story by yourself, and we'll see you tomorrow. Then he... Yeah.
Everybody chose Jacob did wrong.
Yeah.
His brothers did wrong. The whore God of Zerah did wrong. Everybody did wrong in this.
Yeah.
Yes, God.
But God... Okay, verse 28, and they answered, "Your servant, our father, is in good health. He's still alive." Dan, can you read? And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin. This is why you made me read today, isn't it? We're both a couple of mush heads is what this is. Benjamin, then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out. And he restrained himself and said, "Serve the bread." So they set him a place by himself and then by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for this is an abomination to the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Then he took servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. Yep. Chapter 44. And he commanded the steward of the house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, in his grain money." So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. And when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Get up." This is hard to read. My eyes are like being
all
funny.
Right,
I know. It's like, how many times do you have to read this and it still makes you cry every time? As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away and their donkeys. And when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, "Get up, follow the men. And when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid evil for good? Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing.'" So he overtook them and he spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, "Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of the sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. Wow. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He said, with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Then each man speedily let down.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Now you got to see this. Because all the way to the end of this, God is testing their hearts. God's not testing them with sin. But he's like, are you going to come and step up to this level? A little animals. When you see it, step up to it. Don't go down in the fence.
Yeah, amen.
Come up. Don't go down in the fence. Come up. If you're like, no, I'm going. You might even go past that vision. On north side of the vision, you're going to say. I spent some having done nothing wrong, I was completely removed and changed. It's what they thought. But within 4 years, the same left.
You're cutting out right now. Okay, I'm going to keep reading because Pastor, we can't hear him right now, so he'll be back. Then each man speedily let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. So he searched, and he began with the oldest and left off with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they tore their clothes, and each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination? Then Joseph said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants. Here we are, my Lord's slaves, but we... And he also with whom the cup was found. But he said, far be it from me that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go in peace to your father. Then Judah came near him and said, oh, my Lord, please let your servant speak a word in my Lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, who is young. His brother is dead. And he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. Then you said to your servants, bring him down to me that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to the Lord, to my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. So it was when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told the words of my Lord. And our father said, go back and buy a little food. But we said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother is not with us. Then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons and that one went out from me. And I said, surely he is torn to pieces and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me and calamity falls him, you shall bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For the servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if we do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go with his brothers. For how shall I go to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father? Chapter 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood before him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. It's going to make me cry again. Bear with me.
I'm crying.
I know. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hasten and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph. Wow. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me. You and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. How often does this happen in church? There I will provide for you. There I will provide for you and your household and all that you have. Come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hasten and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants well. Yeah, who could not? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this. Load your beasts and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your households and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt with your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. So don't even pack, just come. We'll give you everything you need. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all them, to each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he said to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with good things of Egypt and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Mm-hmm.
And you imagine what that first mile was like.
Oh my.
Away from Joseph's house. See, we don't celebrate the victory that God's already given us enough. Those guys were speechless. There were 11 of them, and then nobody stopped talking. Everybody talked over everybody. Because redemption and restoration and justification and every word that deals with redemption and salvation has just happened to them.
Yeah.
And they're riding along and singing every song they know. Can you imagine? Listen to this. Can you imagine how many times they made this eternal statement? He's alive. He's alive. Joseph is a type of Christ. His brother's not saying he's alive. He's alive. You and I, every day of our life, have to see and know and accept this level of God's blessing.
Verse 24, so he sent his brothers away and they departed, and he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. Then they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob, their father, and they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive. Oh, my goodness. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in their carts, which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took...
But God finally broke through. I mean, all the horses and the cars. Let God break through. Welcome him to break through the grief of your life.
Amen.
I don't know.
Amen. You need to put your microphone back down. Yeah, just a little bit of distance, but it's better now. Okay, verse 6. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt. Jacob and all his descendants with him. Now I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because this just goes into a bunch of genealogy. So we'll go to Jacob settles in Goshen. That's verse 28, chapter 46, verse 28. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen, and they came to the land of Goshen. Did we miss part of it?
No.
No, it looks like it's all genealogy.
Yeah.
So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, now let me die since I have seen your face because you are still alive. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me. And the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be, when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation, that you shall say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth, even till now, both we and all our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Then Joseph went and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brothers, their flocks and their herds and all they possess have come from the land of Canaan, and indeed they are in the land of Goshen. And he took five men from among his brothers and presented them to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to his brothers, what is your occupation? And they said to Pharaoh, your servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. And they said to Pharaoh, we have come to sojourn in the land because our servants have no pasture for their flocks. For the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen. Then Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and brothers dwell in the best land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. And if you know any competent men among them, then make them chief herdsmen over my livestock. Wow. Then Joseph brought his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of my years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not retained to the days of the years of life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. So Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh, and Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, and Pharaoh, as Pharaoh had commanded them. Excuse me. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread according to the number in their families. Keep going.
Yeah. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
Verse 13, now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in your presence, for the money has failed? Then Joseph said, give your livestock and I will give you bread for your livestock if the money is gone. So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Thus he fed them with bread in exchange for their livestock that year. When that year had ended, they came to him the next year and said, we will not hide from our Lord that our money is gone. My Lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate. And Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as the people, he moved them into the cities from the one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh. And they ate their rations, which Pharaoh gave them. Therefore, they did not sell their lands. Then Joseph said to the people, indeed, I have brought you and your land, bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is a seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it came to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh, four-fifths shall be your own, as seed for the field and for your food and those of your household and as food for your little ones. So they said, you've saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have one-fifth, except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew, multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, now if I found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you have said. Then he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. Are you still with us? Okay. What an amazing story. What an amazing story. God gave him a dream. And you know, when Pastor was talking earlier too about letting go of offense at every cost, part of our offense, I think in many cases, we become offended thinking that this person kept us from accomplishing what we were supposed to accomplish. But let this whole story be a testimony to you that God is in charge of your destiny and what he wants you doing, and it doesn't matter what anybody else has done. God will get you to where he needs you to be, and whatever it takes and whoever tries to stand in your way, God will make sure you get where you need to be. So let the offense go. It's not worth holding on to, because that offense is a stopping point from you getting to where you're supposed to be. So I hope you all enjoyed this story as much as we did. It's like, how many times do you read one thing and it still has this severe effect? But it's just, you know,
the effect of restoration.
Yeah. And what a show of the greatness of our God. It's just amazing.
Yeah. And think about it. You said it earlier. We talked about it a little bit.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Who is King David Joseph?
Yeah.
And we're going to continually. If we can get past the offense, not only does God be sure to go to anything, but we can see God be sure to other people.
Yeah. Amen.
Can you imagine Joseph's heart was so wicked? He's a great. That first smile that left Joseph off heart. House. He had to say, I've been redeemed. I've been restored. Judas said, the tribe of praise. Can you imagine the praise that Judas gave?
Oh my. Oh my.
Oh my. Oh my. Oh my.
Wayner. Wayner says, I want to cry now. Go ahead. We all are.
Everybody else might as well. All right. I got to get back outside. So I want to go out to bring the convenient person.
Oh.
And we'll talk a little bit more today. I want to bring that opportunity up by this building then.
All right. Okay, our communion verses are 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 28 and 31, and I'm going to post them here so you can all read along with, and these speak to the Last Supper, the communion that Jesus had with his disciples before he was crucified. Now what we're going to do is we'll read these verses. Like I said, they speak to the communion process, and then we're going to say a prayer of salvation so that anyone that is with us that has not yet received Jesus as Lord of your life will pray the prayer so that you can do that and have yourself right with God, and you'll be free to receive communion with us. So here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We're going to read 23 to 28 and 31. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death or his redemptive work in our life until he comes. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And again, what that means by examining yourself is realizing you are a sinner. And you need a savior to get you into heaven. This is receiving Jesus. 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Hallelujah. And then we also read 1 John 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Let's read 19:2. We love him because he first loved us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, when you put all this into the story of Joseph, you can just see you can't have the Old Testament without the New. And you can't have the New Testament without the old. This is such a perfect picture of God and of Jesus and of the resurrection that's ours. And I'm going to put them all together. I'm on the clock, so I got to keep rolling. But if today you're like, man, he's right there. Like being severely moved on by God here. I wonder what this is all about. I encourage you to thank the Lord, because he
Father, in the name of Jesus. Declare you are my Lord. I name you Lord of my life, Jesus. I receive all of your grace and your mercy. I receive all of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life. With all the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the Word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day, I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. knowledge, understanding, all of that is what it is. So what you have to do is make the day that you say, that's it. From this point on, I am walking with God. And then realize that that is all you've got to do. Some something, there's nothing about God in that. Just wake up every day and just say, I know you made the sun, the moon, the stars. You created this earth. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can change the seasons. I trust you. And he is going to help you every day. Find him. Let's receive our communion. Hold your elements up. We'll bless them. I don't have mine. But it's all right. Somewhere I do. I'm going to take it in the spirit. I'm trying to take it up while I'm going down this two-way road. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements. For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were
wounded for my transgressions.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity, and I receive it. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing.
There's nothing missing and nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
Every joint is supplying in my body. From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community. And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Father, for your broken body.
Thank you, Jesus.
And now we lift up a cup of blessing by the blood of Jesus. I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have
reconciliation with you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
And there's no more condemnation in my life. By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace. Because you welcomed me here.
And I find grace, mercy, and help.
And I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome every bit of condemnation.
I overcome every bit of condemnation.
And my life is forever free.
I'm healed in my body.
No plague comes near me.
No plague comes near me.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be
that glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Jews together in Jesus' mighty name. Well,
thank you, Lord.
I could stay in Greece for another 2 hours, but I know it's time to be done, so catch up with us again the next time. And we will rejoice in the things of God much more. And what he's done for us, he has done things for us, and he's going to continually do things for us every single day. And we're happy with this. Bring it up to us, really. Ask a question. I know you might say, if everybody's asked my question before, it doesn't matter. Until you get it, you don't get it. Ask another question and watch God move on your behalf in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to just be done because I just want to preach. We've done a good job doing this with people. We know they've had a tough situation in their life. And they feel like they're waiting on restoration. No. God will restore anything that we let him get involved with.
Amen.
And to let it in, in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see it again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And
God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Is there anybody not done soon with us?
Dan.
All right. Yeah, big Zoom up.
Okay.
Both the other ones are out of here.
All right. God bless your day, everyone.
God bless you.
Okay.